Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
investors await a key reading on inflation as the Fed lets the economy run hot.
We're learning the U.S. Treasury will decline to name China a currency manipulator for now.
Upbeat economic data from Beijing points to a strong recovery.
And Michigan threatens a shutdown as COVID cases climb.
Unrest continues in a Minneapolis suburb after the fatal shooting of a black man. Plus, the prosecution will wrap up today in Derek Chauvin's trial. I'm Michael Vaughn. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays. The Knicks beat the Lakers. The Nets game was postponed due to the unrest in Minnesota.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at seic.com/IMS.
And futures are little changed this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures up just a point, Dow futures up 29, NASDAQ futures down about 4, and the 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.69%, yield on the 2-year 0.17%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a highly anticipating reading on inflation this morning. Economists forecast the consumer price index rose 0.5% in March, with year-over-year inflation hitting 2.5%. We get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The pandemic hit the U.S. economy hard in March, April, and May of last year. Last March, the CPI fell by 0.3%, at the time the biggest monthly drop since 2015. It was doubly bad in April and still negative in May. So we'll be looking at a huge jump in the index because it's compared to last year at this time. And it will rise again for the next 2 months. The question then is, will that be sustained or, as Fed officials say, transitory? The central bankers think by the end of the year the distortions will have worked their way out of the data and consumer prices will have moderated. They're staking U.S. interest rates on being right. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard says monetary policy will be less preemptive when it comes to inflation. He expects prices will continue to rise in the near term.
I think there will be more inflation in 2021 than what we've seen in recent years, and I'd like some of that to flow through to inflation expectations so that inflation expectations become better centered at 2%. We've missed our inflation target to the low side most of the time since 2012. So we want to recenter inflation expectations at 2%. This is an ideal time to do that.
St. Louis Fed President Bullard spoke exclusively with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes in an hour-long interview on Bloomberg Radio. When it comes to the economy, he says vaccinations are key, and if three-quarters of Americans get vaccinated, that's a sign that the COVID crisis is ending. He also says it's a necessary condition for the Fed to consider tapering its bond-buying program.
We have new developments this morning which could affect U.S.-China relations. Bloomberg News has learned Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will decline to name China as a currency manipulator in her first foreign exchange report. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a move that allows the U.S. to sidestep a fresh clash with Beijing. The report, which is not yet finalized, is due out on Thursday, although it's unclear when the department will release it. During the Trump era, the Treasury Department was accused of politicizing the report after it abruptly designated China a manipulator in mid-2019 outside its usual release schedule, only to lift the label 5 months later to win concessions in a trade deal. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Meanwhile, we have strong economic data out of China as the global recovery from the pandemic continues. We get the details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Exports jumped 30.6% from a year earlier. That's down from an estimate of more than 38%. Hard to read too much into these numbers as they're distorted by comps to the low base of early 2020, but there is strong momentum on exports. Now, imports rose 38.1%, and that was much stronger than than the estimated 24.4%. That put the trade surplus at $13.8 billion for the month. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Back here in the U.S., President Biden is working to address a global shortage in computer chips. He tells CEOs at a semiconductor summit that there is bipartisan support to secure funds to address the issue. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has the story.
The president told CEOs from Ford, Intel, Alphabet, and others that he has congressional support for $50 billion for semiconductor manufacturing and research. Sources said the meeting was mostly a chance for company bosses to air their grievances about the global shortage of semiconductors, which has impacted production of cars, computers, and mobile phones. No major agreement was reached or proposals made, but automakers hoped a portion of the funds would be just for vehicle-grade chips. The White House has indicated it won't prioritize one industry over another. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Now the latest on the pandemic as Michigan faces the highest rate of new infections in the U.S. The governor is weighing the possibility of another lockdown, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the very latest.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer says COVID prevention behavior has not been good, so she may have to step in.
I believe government's role is when we can't take action to protect ourselves, the government must step in. That's where we were a year ago. That's where we were 4 months ago. We're in a different moment. Every one of us has the ability and knowledge to do what it takes.
Whitmer says people need to take this very seriously. She's worried about kids getting really sick. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. That surge in Michigan is due to rapid circulation of the variant that first emerged in the UK. Now we're learning that strain may be less deadly than feared. And we get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Nathan, research published in the Lancet Infectious Diseases Journal shows about 36% of those infected with the B.1.1.7 strain became severely ill or died. That's compared with 38% of those who had non-B.1.1.7 infections. A co-author of the new study says it looked at patients in hospitals rather than in the community like prior research. And although the strain that emerged in the UK is not more lethal, research confirms it spreads more quickly than other versions. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures that'll change this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get a look at what's going on in New York and around the world this morning. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. Police clashed with protesters for a second night in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center, where an officer fatally shot a black man in a traffic stop over the weekend. Colonel Matt Langer is from the Minneapolis State Patrol.
In totality, there are about 40 arrests that were made, some cited, some booked in jail for things all the way from curfew violations to riot.
Colonel Langer also says there was limited looting. The town's police chief said the officer had apparently intended to fire a taser, not a handgun, as 20-year-old Dante Wright struggled with fellow officers. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
It doesn't need to be this way. We don't have to continue having these press conferences and having what may be a routine traffic stop end in a 20-year-old dead, a family devastated, and a community on edge.
Governor Walz. Meanwhile, rallies were held across New York City yesterday protesting Wright's death. The Minneapolis area is already on edge because of the trial of Derek Chauvin, the police officer charged with the murder of George Floyd. Yesterday, witnesses include Philonis Floyd, who gave emotional testimony. He talked about his big brother's close relationship with their mother, who is now deceased.
Every mother loves all of her kids, but it was so unique how they were with each other. He would lay up onto her in the fetus position like he was still in a womb.
Following Floyd's testimony, the prosecution brought up an additional use of force expert. The prosecution is expected to wrap up its case today. Tennessee authorities say a student was killed after shooting a police officer at a high school in Knoxville. The police officer is in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Knoxville police say that they responded to Austin East High School yesterday after receiving reports of a male subject armed in the school. Mayor Bill de Blasio says about 51,000 more New York City students will return to in-person schooling later this month. Parents whose children were attending school remotely were given a two-week window ending last Friday for opting back into the classroom. De Blasio said he was not surprised that the majority of families chose to stick with remote schooling because they had gotten into a schedule that worked for them with remote. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Michael. Thank you. Just about 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshire.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees were in Dunedin, Florida. That's where the Blue Jays have spring training, where they're now playing their games due to COVID. Toronto scored first, inning off Garrett Cole, who then retired 15 in a row. Yanks took the lead on a two-run homer by Kyle Higashioka, and he wasn't through.
It'll be a 1-2 to Higgy. And he swings, lifts a high drive to left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It hit off the scoreboard way in back of the stands. Another home run. Kyle makes you smile.
Of course, John Sterling, WFAN. Two home runs for Higashioka, who had a three home run game versus the Blue Jays last season. The Yanks only had two other hits, but they won 3-1 to get to 5-5 on the year. Aaron Hicks did not play. He used to play for the Twins. Aaron Boone said before the game Hicks was very affected by what's going on in Minnesota after the death of a young black man at police hands. Giancarlo Stanton considered not playing, but he did play. The Twins, Timberwolves, and Wild all had home games scheduled for yesterday and last night. None of those games were played. The Nets were in town to play the T-Wolves. LeBron James was at the Garden, but he's injured. So is Anthony Davis. The Lakers still won Saturday in Brooklyn by 25, but the Knicks beat him 111-96. Another big game for Julius Randle, 34 points. Elfrid Payton added 20. Knicks moved back over 500. Golden State beat Denver. Steph Curry scored 53. Julian Edelman retired after 12 seasons in New England. He was a little-known quarterback at Kent State. Patriots drafted him in the seventh round, made him a wide receiver. Edelman was a big part of three Super Bowl-winning teams in New England. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, one other note. A federal judge has approved a partial deal between players on the women's national team and the U.S. Soccer Federation over unequal working conditions. The deal calls for charter flights, hotel accommodations, venue selection, and professional staff support equitable to that of the men's team. Futures little changed this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 5:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Bond yields climbing. U.S. futures are steady as traders await inflation data, a treasury auction, and corporate earnings to assess the market outlook. Bitcoin hitting a record. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2 points this morning. Dow futures up 38. NASDAQ futures little changed. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year treasury down 7/32, yield 1.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 31 cents at $60.01 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.40 at $17.29.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1901 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3763. The yen's at 109.27. And checking Bitcoin, $62,540. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A Brooklyn Center, Minnesota police officer has been placed on administrative leave after fatally shooting a black man during a traffic stop. Authorities say Dante Wright was killed by a single shot from a veteran officer who meant to fire her taser but mistakenly grabbed her pistol. Protests continued for a second night in the area. President Joe Biden plans to nominate Christine Wormuth as Secretary of the Army. It would make the former Undersecretary of Policy for President Obama the first woman to oversee the Army. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Nationals, and A's were all winners. The Giants lost. In the NBA, the Knicks, Wizards, and Warriors were all winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on the latest economic data we're seeing out of China this morning. Trade in the world's second biggest economy saw a strong bounce back last month, and the U.S. has reportedly made a decision on whether Beijing manipulates its currency. Joining us now from Hong Kong for more, Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran. Enda, good morning. Let's start off first with these trade numbers. If you could walk us through them, it looks like we saw some pretty strong gains on both the export and import side.
Indeed, Nathan, pretty strong result again for March. We saw exports climb 30.6% in dollar terms from a year earlier. Now, that was below the 38% median forecast and slower than a month earlier. But nonetheless, I think any country would be happy with export demand of 30, export growth of 30-odd percent. On the import side, we saw a big increase there to almost 40%, in fact, and that left a trade surplus of around $14 billion for the month. Now, under the bonnet, there are some wrinkles with the data. Some economists are saying there's the obvious point, which is the base effect, which is happening in every economy around the world right now. You're comparing it to a year ago when things were shut down. Secondly, people are saying, in fact, they're seeing some cooling in demand now for all of the work-from-home kit that China's manufacturers specialize in. This has been a big bulwark for China's export sector over the past year. Well, now we're seeing some kind of a cooling demand there, and economists are saying keep an eye on that in the months ahead because it might mean China's export story starts to cool off. But nonetheless, when you consider that the World Trade Organization is talking about global trade growth of 8% this year, that has to bode well for China, which is the world's biggest trading nation.
And when you see numbers like this, Enda, what does it mean for the global growth picture as a whole when we see China with this kind of trade surplus?
I think you'd have to say that it points to a recovering global economy. Remember, our own Bloomberg economists have forecast the fastest growth in 60 years this year as the world economy comes back. We know that's all about the vaccination story. We know that's about hope that we move towards the other side of the pandemic as restrictions are eased. So what we're seeing in these China figures is basically a reflection of robust global demand. And remember, as those U.S. stimulus checks continue to flow out to U.S. Taxpayers, that will spill over into China's manufacturers and indeed the rest of Asia too. So I think it points to something of a robust recovery. The thing to keep an eye on, though, is, as I mentioned earlier, whether or not now we start to see this recovery plateauing in terms of the manufacturing story out of China and demand for these kind of goods from the rest of the world. If we're all stocked up on our laptops and work from home kit now at this stage, that will then shift the pendulum from manufacturing to service, and we have to then start to see the growth baton being handed to the likes of travel and travel sector, as we see a gradual resumption there, and tourism and education, and of course consumption. Consumption in China actually continues to lag the broader recovery. We'll get some fresh detail on that on Friday, and that will tell us whether or not the consumer is finally getting motoring there as well.
And as we continue to watch this growth story continue, and we're watching trade tensions, of course, whether this reported decision from Treasury Secretary Yellen on whether China manipulates its currency is going to have any impact on that.
Yeah, indeed. Look, this is an important part of the overall jigsaw. We know that during the previous administration, President Trump constantly or frequently early on in his term, at least, accused China of deliberately keeping its currency cheap to aid its exporters. And then eventually his administration labeled China as a currency manipulator. That isn't on the agenda or it isn't on the list for the current Biden administration. Our colleagues in Washington are reporting they're due to, or the Treasury is due to release its new manipulator report, semi-annual foreign exchange report is called, soon. And that likely won't label China as a manipulator. It doesn't mean that broader tensions have gone away, of course. The U.S. will be closely watching what China is doing with its currency. This currency, the yuan, has been somewhat stable and, in fact, a touch on the strong side throughout the pandemic. So that's diffusing some of the tension in this. And, of course, we know that the original Phase 1 trade agreement between the U.S. and China remains in place, too, even though these broader tensions over technology and human rights and so on continue to shape the broader and competitive edge between the two economies. So it appears as though we won't be seeing movement on the exchange rate front in this particular report, but Nathan, that doesn't mean any of the broader tensions are going away anytime soon.
Thanks, as always, for all this. Really appreciate it. Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran with us this morning from Hong Kong. And just taking a quick look at the offshore yuan, it did strengthen just a bit on the news about Treasury Secretary Yellen declining to name China a currency manipulator. Right now, a little bit of weakness for the Chinese currency. Right now, it's at 655.17 against the dollar. As for equity futures, they're looking for a bit of direction this morning ahead of the release of the March Consumer Price Index. Right now, S&P futures are up just about a point. Dow futures up 34. NASDAQ futures lower by almost 4 points. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.69%. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Futures are little changed this morning ahead of a key reading on inflation. Economists forecast the consumer price index rose 0.5% in March. That's a faster pace than the prior report. And we get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
In February, the CPI rose 0.4%, the most since August. Potential danger could be lurking if the economy booms coming out of the pandemic, but Bloomberg Economics sees only narrow price spikes. Gasoline, for example, up 12% in March. Other costs have moderated since the coronavirus struck, and historic unemployment has kept a lid on labor costs that filter into the price of consumer goods and services. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thanks. We have strong economic data out of China today. Beijing says trade jumped in March. Exports climbed almost 31%, while imports increased 38%.
Meantime, Bloomberg News has learned that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will not name China a currency manipulator. That's the plan for her first semi-annual foreign exchange report. And we get more from Bloomberg's Saleha Mohsin.
People might remember that under Hank Paulson and then Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner during the global financial crisis, when there were a lot of clear indications that China was intervening in the currency, they declined to designate China as a manipulator to maintain diplomatic ties. And under President Donald Trump in the years past, even though there were no clear signs of currency manipulation, that tag was applied.
Bloomberg Saleha Mohsin says the Trump administration lifted the manipulator label 5 months later to win concessions in a trade deal.
Turning to the pandemic now, new developments this morning in the Midwest. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Nathan, a surge in Michigan is due to rapid circulation of the variant that first emerged in the UK. And the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the state should shut down to prevent the spread. But at the same time, we're learning that strain may be less deadly than initially feared. Research published in the Lancet Infectious Diseases Journal shows about 36% of those infected with the B.1.1.7 variant became severely ill or died. That compares with 38% of those who had non-B.1.1.7 infections. Although the strain that emerged in the UK is not more lethal, research confirms it spreads more quickly than others. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures, little change this morning, watching Bitcoin at $62,326. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. About 1,000 National Guard members are patrolling the streets of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Last night, people gathered to protest the police killing of Dante Wright on Sunday. Brooklyn Center, Minnesota Police Chief Tim Gannon.
As I watched the video and listened to the officer's commands, it is my belief that the officer had the intention to deploy their taser, but instead shot Mr. Wright with a single bullet.
Gannon says the officer has been placed on administrative leave She has been identified as Kim Potter and a 26-year veteran of the police force. Protests were also held in New York City demonstrating against Wright's death. The prosecutor's case against former officer Derek Chauvin drew toward a close yesterday with memories from George Floyd's younger brother. Philonis Floyd shared childhood memories of his big brother.
He was one of those people in the community that when they had church outside, people would attend church just because he was there.
After Floyd, the jury also heard testimony from a police use of force expert who said no reasonable officer would have done what Chauvin did. The defense team will soon present their case. Authorities say a student at a Knoxville, Tennessee high school fired at officers and was killed by police. State investigator David Rausch.
As officers entered the space, the subject reportedly fired shots, striking an officer. One officer returned fire.
Rausch says the student died at Austin East High School and an officer was shot in the leg. Slain U.S. Capitol Police Officer William Billy Evans will lie in honor in the Capitol Rotunda today. President Joe Biden and congressional leaders will attend a ceremony for Evans, who was killed April 2nd when a vehicle rammed into him and another officer at a barricade near the Senate side of the Capitol. Police shot and killed the driver. Disgraced Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein could be extradited by late April to face nearly a dozen charges of sexual abuse. Weinstein was convicted in New York, but he was indicted in California yesterday, charged with 11 counts of sexual assault from five different accusers in Los Angeles. The indictment is sealed, but the charges include rape, sexual battery, and more. Weinstein's attorney has dismissed the accusations as stemming from what he calls Me Too movement hysteria. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, the Lakers won visit to the Garden, and LeBron James was there, but not in uniform. Expected to miss another 3 weeks with an injured ankle. Lakers without their other star, Anthony Davis. Knicks took advantage. They beat the Lakers 111-96. Julius Randle scored 34 points. The Nets were in Minnesota, but their game with the Timberwolves was postponed due to the unrest and curfew in place. The Twins and Wild also had home games postponed, and Aaron Hicks chose not to play for the Yankees. And ex-twin Aaron Boone said Hicks was deeply affected by what's going on in Minnesota. Giancarlo Stanton did play. He considered joining Hicks. Yanks beat the Blue Jays in Dunedin, Florida, 3-1. Kyle Higashioka drove in all three with two home runs. Garrett Cole in the bullpen allowed only five hits, struck out 12. The Mets with another Citi Field rainout. They'll play a doubleheader with the Phillies today, starting at 4. Andy Reid's son, Britt, who was an assistant in Kansas City, now facing felony, DUI, and speeding charges. Reid was in a car accident just before the Super Bowl. A 5-year-old girl remains critically injured. The Jets just traded Sam Darnold to the Panthers. Darnold met the media in Charlotte and admitted he expected to be the Jets' quarterback for 20 years, that it stung him to be unwanted, and that the uncertainty about the future was driving him insane. In New England, Julian Edelman called it a career.
It was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family. And I'm honored and so proud to be retiring a Patriot.
Let the debate begin over whether Edelman is a Hall of Famer. He had 118 postseason catches. Only Jerry Rice had more. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City on Monday opened a dedicated vaccination site in Times Square for film, TV, and theater workers as the city seeks to jumpstart New York's all-important arts and entertainment industry. Mayor Bill de Blasio says arts and culture are crucial to New York City's comeback. Well, hedge fund manager and Mets owner Steve Cohen found a buyer for his Midtown Manhattan penthouse. It only took 8 years and a big price cut. In 2013, it listed for $115 million. The asking price was reduced several times since, most recently to $29.5 million, according to StreetEasy. The final price won't be known until that deal closes. New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority is offering long-term debt in a new deal. It's announcing plans to sell $1.3 billion of bonds next week. It'll be repaid with a payroll tax, the first time the agency is offering long-term debt backed by that revenue. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Tinder hiring a new chief marketing officer from Pizza Hut in a push for younger users.
I'm Steve Potoskin on 1010 Winds in New York. We're looking at how the takeover of Tiffany may have provided some glitter for LVMH sales.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on another vaccine milestone as the NHS moves to jab those under 50 and Moderna supplies arrive in England today.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm talking about Medtronic saying that batteries in some implantable defibrillators could rapidly lose power.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting MAI Capital Management is moving to independence.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, the owner of Kay Jewelers, Jared and Zales, is setting a big sales target as business starts to pick up again. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
That will be Signet Jewelers, and in a presentation to investors, executives announced a plan to boost annual sales to $9 billion, a huge jump from last year's $5.2 billion and this year's target of about $6 billion. The goal? Expand e-commerce and provide more in-store services. The company sees an opportunity to seize about 10% of the fragmented jewelry market since most stores in the industry are independent and don't have robust online shopping operations. The company did not provide a specific time frame, but says it wants to meet the goal, quote, in coming years. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And two of the world's most powerful money managers are joining forces to build a business on climate change investing. BlackRock and Singapore's Temasek are raising one of the largest venture capital funds dedicated to carbon-cutting technologies. They're committing a total of $600 million to the effort. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Bond yields are climbing and U.S. futures are steady as traders await inflation data, a treasury auction, and corporate earnings to assess the market outlook. Bitcoin hit a record as the mood in cryptocurrencies turns bullish before Coinbase Global goes public. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2 points this morning. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year treasury down 7/32nds, yield 1.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.17%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 43 cents at $60.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $5.50 at $17.2730 an ounce. The euro 1.1901 against the dollar. British pound 1.3763 and the yen's at 109.28. And checking Bitcoin, $62,758. At 6 o'clock Wall Street time, we're watching for small business optimism from the National Federation of Independent Business. And then the Consumer Price Index is out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you. President Joe Biden says he understands the anger and outrage at another police stop ending in a black suspect's death. The president says we should listen to the mother of 20-year-old Dante Wright, who is calling for peace and calm. Demonstrations were held for a second night in the Minneapolis area. It is day 12 of the trial of Derek Chauvin, and the defense will begin its case. After 2 weeks of testimony that included accounts from eyewitnesses, but also analysis from law enforcement and medical experts, the prosecution is expected to rest rest its case today. Once it does, the defense will begin calling its witnesses. Kelvin King announced that he would challenge incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock for a U.S. Senate seat in Georgia in 2022, becoming the first Republican to enter the race. King was an outspoken black supporter of former President Donald Trump in Georgia. Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Nationals, and A's all winners. The Giants lost. NBA, Knicks, Wizards, Warriors were all winners. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The Federal Reserve is watching inflation, and we get the latest reading on that at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. They're also watching the pandemic with an eye to when the economy has recovered enough to start pulling back on ultra-accommodative policy. For more on the path to full employment and eventually pulling back on bond purchases, let's hear from Jim Bullard. The St. Louis Fed president spoke exclusively to Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes, and here's some of what he had to say.
Even though we're all very hopeful that the pandemic will come to a close in the U.S., we're not there yet. We're still vaccinating. We're still rolling out. We're still watching for other developments on the virus. So we're not to the end of the road here, and I think it's too early to talk about changing monetary policy. We want to stay with our very easy monetary policy while we're still in the pandemic tunnel. If we get to the end of the tunnel, then I think it'll be time to start assessing where we want to go next.
How do you define the end of the tunnel? I mean,
in terms of the pandemic
sure,
itself,
but I mean,
you start to get to 75% vaccinated, 80% vaccinated, and CDC starts to give more hopeful messages about, that we're bringing this under better control and starts relaxing some of their guidelines, then I think the whole economy will gain confidence from that. And we'll see if we get to that point. It looks good right now, and the data looks good. Cases are up some. That's a little bit concerning. But, right now I think the vaccine strategy is basically working in the U.S.
So if we get to that point and if things are looking up, is that the point where the Fed starts talking about tapering?
I would leave it to the chair to initiate that discussion. I think I don't want to open that discussion prematurely. I think we have to get the pandemic more substantially behind us than where we are right now. And then we can certainly entertain ideas about what to do next once we get to that point.
That's St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Tune in for another important conversation coming up this morning when we hear from one of President Biden's top economic advisors. Jared Bernstein, a member of the National Economic Council, sits down for a conversation with Tom Keene, Lisa Abramowitz, and Jonathan Farrow. That's coming up at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Surveillance. Karen?
All right, Nathan, it's 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Ruling from a federal judge in California cleared the way for the U.S. women's soccer team to appeal last May's loss on the issue of equal pay. Other parts of the team's sex bias suit were settled. The vacation company Golf Travel is suing Mullen Sports and Entertainment, charging that Mullen sold invalid badges for the Masters Golf Tournament. State lawmakers in California approved more than $500 million for wildfire resiliency projects, hoping to avoid another destructive fire season.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. President Biden creating a 36-member bipartisan commission to study potential changes to the U.S. Supreme Court. But many legal experts doubt that the commission will lead to any concrete changes. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Neil Kinkoff, a professor at Georgia State University College of Law.
It sounds like they're supposed to come up with something that looks like a research paper. Are they actually going to make specific recommendations for change?
Well, I think what they're going to do is mostly assess recommendations that have already been made. Now, having said that, a number of the recommendations that have been made by members who are on the commission. So they will at least be addressed in the report. I don't know for sure whether or not the commission will end up making recommendations. It depends on what they think is advisable. So they certainly could. They're allowed to. But whether they think that any reform to the Supreme Court is needed, you know, as a body, whether they think that that much isn't clear at all. But having said that, I think part of the purpose of the commission is that I think President Biden really doesn't want to do much about the Supreme Court. And so, you know, in politics, when you don't want to do something, you set up a commission to study it. I think his inclination is not to change the Supreme Court. He was on the Judiciary Committee for decades. He knows these issues pretty well, and his instinct has always been moderation.
They're also going to study some other types of limitations on the Supreme Court, like term limits and jurisdiction stripping. Might either of those turn out to be a less drastic way of affecting change at the court?
So I'm sure there will be support. A number of members of the commission have supported publicly those sorts of less drastic measures in the past. So there will be at least some support on the commission for it. I don't expect that the commission is likely to adopt any of those. And even if it does, I think it's remarkably unlikely that any kind of meaningful court reform would get enacted by Congress. For one thing, there's serious doubt about the constitutionality of something like term limits, that would require a constitutional amendment, which is virtually impossible in this setting. The jurisdiction stripping proposals, those can be done by a regular statute. But Congress has considered jurisdiction stripping statutes frequently over the decades, and very often with very strong political support for them, and yet none of them has actually been enacted. So I'm really doubtful that any of those, even if they were to get through the commission, could possibly be enacted by Congress.
And that's Neil Kinkoff, a professor at Georgia State University College of Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. It's been a little more than a year since the COVID-19 pandemic disrupted our lives. Every day at this time, we're taking a look at different industries or ways of life that underwent monumental change in the past 12 months. Here with today's installment of A Year Like No Other is Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
It's tough to get some things fixed right now. Repair shops are struggling with shortages.
Motors, compressors, circuit boards. There's many ancillary parts like little screws, wires that are not available.
And Gary Ratar at Associated Appliance in Connecticut says some of those parts are only made in one place in the world, meaning we're all just one COVID shutdown from parts panic.
I have one customer that bought something in June. They're not getting anything until next June.
Businesses are losing sleep over this, too.
There's a production delay on mattresses because they can't get the springs or the thread to make the mattress.
Bob Nabojcik is head of Gold Bond Mattress. He says futons are flying off the floors as a result.
Their business is easily doubled.
And some shortages could get worse as consumers start to spend those stimulus checks. And this year, like no other, may be behind us, but we may be about to face another year like no other. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Denise, thank you. And again, futures, well, S&P futures showing a little more strength, up about 5 points right now. And we continue to watch Bitcoin, which is hitting a record. It's up almost 5% at $62,804. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Our top stories straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.